Good stuff.
Well, it's kind of appropriate that I asked Larry, since he's one of the youth leaders here, if he would give a witness of faith to you this morning. His story is quite an astounding story. So, Larry, if you would, come on up and share with us a little bit that's on your heart.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. It has been awesome being up on stage in front of you guys and sharing that with you, and even more amazing being part of the youth group. It's growing so quickly. It's really been amazing. So thank you for that opportunity. I've been coming to this church for about 3 years. Probably all of you know my wife, Nadia. She's amazing, right? And, you know, God has, in that 3 years, and even just prior to that, God has really moved in my life. And God has had an amazing plan for me. And thank you. So I want to tell you a little story about how I came to stand right here on the stage in front of you and how I got here, okay? It starts about 6 years ago. So I worked in a place called TZ Insurance. It's just around the corner on Waters Avenue near Anderson. And I lived in Clearwater. And I would drive back and forth between there and Clearwater every day. I would make that trip. I had never experienced anything in town and country. I never stopped along the way in town and country. I used to drive on Eisenhower, there next to the expressway, and I would occasionally get the red light at Memorial, and I would sit at that light, and I actually would look down Memorial, having never went down that road, and I would look down there, and I had some kind of wonder in me, like, what was down there? What's down that road? And I would look down there, even looking down the road, and go, what is down there? Why do I even wonder what's down there? And I didn't understand it. And it was probably a couple years before I really found out what was down there for me. And, you know, I would go home. I was in a really dark place. I was involved with the wrong things and the wrong people. I was full of sin. My heart was hardened. I was really bitter over having been through a really difficult divorce and having two children who really wanted nothing to do with me. And I was bitter about it. I was bitter with God about it, and I had turned away. And, you know, working at this place, this TZ Insurance, I was a telephone agent. I sold insurance on the phone like a telemarketer. I got a lot of rejection on a daily basis. I probably would have been depressed anyways, but it made it even worse. And they moved our seats around a lot to make us kind of be next to different people and change things up on us. And I was fortunate enough that my seat was moved, and I got to sit next to a really awesome woman named Lila. And Lila Moore, and she's here with us today. And she would take my hand. She knew what I was going through. She would take my hand. She would pray with me and pray for me. And it was starting to crack open that rocky shell around my heart. And it was working on me. And, you know, the life that I was leading, I was starting to feel like, you know, I've got to make a change here. You know, it was getting so bad. I was so deeply depressed, drinking excessively, just to a terrible point. And I got to the point where I went into my room, I got on my knees, I prayed to God, please God, I know you don't want this for me. This life that I'm leading, this isn't what you want for me, I know that. Show me what you want from me, Lord, and I'll do it. Just take it. You can take it. I don't need to be in control. I have messed everything up, and I can't get it right. But you can. So show me what you want. Lead me. I'll do whatever you want. You know, I was at a point where I thought that I would never have joy in my life again. I thought for sure I would never have a relationship with a woman again. I would never have any happiness of any kind. I was miserable every single day. And as I worked at that place, Lila's words were working on me, and I started reading my Bible again. I was promoted to a supervisor, and as I was a supervisor, I would walk through these aisles where all these people, there was like 400 people that we worked with, and I hadn't known Nadia yet. She was moved into my department, and as I walked through these aisles, you would see people with like coloring books on their desks for when between phone calls and all kinds of silly things, magazines. One guy even had like a magazine of yachts that were for sale, like he would look through. And so nothing that really was of any importance, wasted time. You know, these people wasted their time reading these things that didn't matter. And I was walking through the aisle one day, and I came across one desk that didn't have that kind of reading material on their desk. There was a small book there on the desk, and I didn't recognize it. It looked a little bit different. I knew what a Bible looked like, so I knew it wasn't a Bible, but it looked kind of like it. It was this book right here. It was My Utmost for His Highest. Okay? And I asked the young lady with this book, what is that? And it was Nadia. And she said, that's a devotional. And that she told me that her friend had given her this book. Now, this book was printed before I was born. This book was printed in 1967, this particular one. It was given to her by Renee Kincaid at this church. And it made me kind of tilt my head and think for a second, like, wow, I mean, this is interesting. This young lady is reading this material when everybody else is coloring in coloring books and reading about yachts and silly stuff like that. It kind of just piqued my interest a little bit. And then later, as I got to know Nadia more, I found out she needed to have Wednesday nights off. She needed to go home early Wednesday night. And I, being the supervisor, was the person who kind of like approved that or not and that sort of thing. And of course, I would let her go to help on Wednesday nights because she was coming here to Promised Land. I had no idea what that was. I had no idea this church existed. I had never been down Memorial Highway. But her saying that she was taking time out of her schedule and taking time away from work to go and help children, it kind of blew me away, and it made me reflect on my life and think, I've never done anything for anyone. All I've ever done was for me. I've never taken any time. I've wasted my life. It's funny that such a simple little thing that somebody else is doing can show you what you've been doing with your life, and it wasn't good. I had been doing only the bad things with my life and none of the good. And I found out she also was taking time, you know, twice or three times a year to go on a go day and help people in the community through this church. And I thought, I want to do that. I even told her, I want to do that. That's really cool. That's inspirational. I'd love to do something like that. So little did I know that down the road, I would get to do something like that. I kind of realized that I was becoming interested in Nadia. And I was the supervisor. I wasn't allowed to date somebody who worked for me or with me like that. And as soon as I realized it, I thought, you know what? I've got to let this go. I can't do this. This isn't right. I can't try to make something happen. I'm a supervisor. And I said, you know, I've got to let that go. And about a week later, she put in her notice. She had found another job someplace else, and she happened to put in her notice right when I was thinking this. And I thought, I can't let her get away. I've got to say something before she goes, before she's gone. And so I did. I invited her to her concert. We didn't go to the concert. We went and did something else. We went to her house. They were having a dinner. But the next date that we had, or the next thing that we did together, was actually a go day here at this church. The first thing that I ever got to do here at this church was to go to a go day. I knew not one of you guys, not anything about this church at all, and it was the first time I had gotten to come down Memorial Highway. You know, I didn't realize it, but as I started coming to this church, people were watching me and how I behaved, and things started to change in my life. I was opening my heart up more to God, and I was letting God lead me. So, you know, in everything that I did, I was slowly giving more and more to God, and I was listening. I knew that my interest in Nadia really lied in the fact that she was, you know, so awesome in the time that she gave to you and the time that she put in here to God. and I was inspired by it, and I wanted to see it and be a part of it, I thought, I want that. I want some of that kind of love. And when I came here and I started coming here to see her in the choir, and I would sit back here and watch her in the choir, and then I started volunteering in Promised Land with Rochelle. And it felt better and better and better and more amazing, and it started to break apart that hardened heart and open me up more and more to God's word, where I wanted more of it. I couldn't get enough. And so I started coming every single Sunday. I started enjoying it. I started singing in the choir, you know, and it was, God was moving more and more every week in my life, until the point that, you know, Ernie one time got up here and he asked who would like to be baptized, and nobody was standing up, and I sat back here in the choir and I couldn't even hear anymore because it kept pounding in my head, this voice saying, he's talking to you, he wants you to get up there, it's you. And I tried to resist, and I thought, no, it's not me. And he kept asking, doesn't anybody want to be baptized today? And I couldn't even control myself. I had to stand up. It was like God was controlling me. And I came down there, and I was baptized right here in this church, and it's been amazing ever since. It's really remarkable, the plans that God can have for your life. Thank you. So, you know, I want you to know, look at this simple little book opened up my heart. This simple book sitting on someone's desk made me think about my journey with God. Her mentioning that she was going to be volunteering with some children, that opened my heart even more to God. All you've got to do, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to go out and preach on the corner. All you got to do is talk about what you're doing in the church and what your experiences are. And it's drawing people to God. Take the time, if somebody asks you about what you're doing, you know, mention something that you're doing with God that involves God. Not necessarily, oh, I went to see this movie, or I went to this dinner. Talk about God. It could take away that hardened heart from somebody. It could be the biggest thing in their life. My life has changed 100%, 180 degrees. My life is completely different than it was. All of my friends that I surround myself are involved in this church. What was waiting for me down Memorial Highway was my entire life. Everything in my life. Thank you. God had a plan for me. God has a plan for each and every one of you, okay? Know that in your hearts. God is out there. Jesus is reaching out his hand all the time to you. Just look for it. Look for it and open your heart. He'll find you. Thank you, guys.
I promise you I don't have a sermon. I have a devotion. I knew Larry was going to share today, and I know quite a bit of Larry's story, so I have just a verse of scripture and something to help us, okay? We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in the 11th chapter. And in that chapter, Jesus gets confronted by someone. And I want to share with you that when he says what he's about to say, that he is fully aware that there are two different kinds of people listening. And we've talked about Luke before. We've talked about the people that Jesus meets in this gospel. And so as he shares this incredible truth, I understand that even right here, maybe right now, there might be two different kinds of people listening to Jesus. And so as I read this, what I'd like to share with you is beware the strong man. Beware the strong man. This is for you, Larry. I want you to hear this, okay? The disciples who are walking with Jesus, they know something's down the road. They don't yet know, that it's their whole life. But they will. And there are some things that they have to learn as they take these steps. The one that we talked about last week, they got to learn how to pray. They really have to learn how to talk with their Father and how to accept that what is, and to have faith and to ask for the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. And as soon as he finishes with the Lord's Prayer, some people come up, people in the crowd, one of the two kinds of people. And as I read this, I want you to see if you can identify who's the strong man, okay? Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. And when the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons." And others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. If I drive them out by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has now come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Someone stronger attacks and overpowers him. He takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Are we about to have an MMA fight here? What's really going on here? Let's think about this just a real quick second. There's two kinds of people listening to Jesus. There are those who are going to be transformed, and their whole life is down that highway. They're going to be changed. But for them to be changed, they better be paying attention. Something has to happen to them. And then there are those who are just not going to listen. They're not going to pay attention. Who's the strong man? In this story, there's a strong man and a stronger man. Is the strong man going to the gym every day? Is there somebody in the crowd who's pretty well built? Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about a strong man? Or are we talking about one kind of person? You see, in the crowd, there's two kinds of people. There are strong men, and then there's the stronger. The strong men have learned to trust in themselves. And they believe they can fix it. And they believe they have the answers. And they believe that if they're good enough, they can get into heaven. They think all they got to do is do the right thing. And Jesus looks them in the eye, toe to toe. And he says, "I understand you think you're a strong man. I don't know if any of the men in the group have ever done this, but it would be like if you come up against who really actually knows what they're doing and looks you in the eye and you want to confront them and they say to you, 'You might not want to do this.'" That's what Jesus is doing. You see, there are people in this crowd who think they understand it all. They have no need for God. They have no need for Jesus. They think they can handle it. Every once in a while, when we get on our journey and we start walking down that path with Jesus as Larry has done, we make the mistake of thinking we've got it. And as soon as you think you've got it, the strong man surfaces. And Jesus comes toe to toe. And he says to you and he says to me, "You might not want to do this. You might want to think about the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ is stronger than any thought, temptation, or failure in your life, including the failure that you think you're really smart, that you think you really have all the answers, that you think you can fix everything, that you think you can just obey the rules of life and be a good person and you'll get to heaven. He can conquer that. In fact, he's the only one who can. And without Jesus, you simply run through life thinking you're a strong man. And I'm telling you, for your devotion, for you to hear, Jesus goes toe-to-toe with that. He says, you think you're strong? You might not want to do this. You know what I'm talking about. You might not want to do this, because down the path with me is the rest of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for your richest blessing upon us. Help us, O God, of that which we have empowered to be strong in our lives that takes us down the wrong path. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to trust in you, to be like the disciples.